say it feels great to be back. 9 months. 9 months it's been since I walked out in front of those people. 9 months since I've stood here in front of this camera. And Mike went out there tonight, and he told everybody that he was here to answer Seth's open challenge. Well, he's not the only one who had that intention, because I've had my eyes on Seth's gold ever since the first day he laid his hands on it. You want to know what I want? You want to know what Tommaso Ciampa wants? I want it all. I want Monday Night Raw. I want SmackDown. I want every premium live event. I want Money in the Bank. I want the briefcase. I want SummerSlam. I want Survivor Series. I want the Royal Rumble. I want to start one. I want to go to 30. I want to go to WrestleMania. I want to be the main event. I want to be the main attraction. I want to be the guy that everybody talks about. I want to be the household name. I want everybody all around the world to talk about sponsorship, because I'm that damn good. I'm that damn good on the microphone. I'm that damn good in the ring. And last time I was in WWE, last time I was on Monday Night Raw, I made a lot of mistakes, and I had 275 days to think about every damn mistake that I made. And sometimes, if you want things right, you do it yourself.
Welcome back, Tommaso Ciampa. And a little interesting that we did not see any sign of Johnny Gargano welcoming back his former tag team partner. I mean, I expect them to obviously reform, but Tommaso Ciampa may get a little bit of a surprise return tonight and look great out there. Hasn't skipped a beat. Actually looks like he's in better shape now than he was before. Let's hope that he can remain healthy. That's the most important thing. You know, in tonight's Raw, which I got to be honest with you, it was a hot mess. It really was a hot mess. And I don't know if I'm actually complaining about that or I'm just spelling what feels pretty obvious. And the reason why I say that is because, you know, I try to add some photos of little highlights that go on during the show. And, you know, I also take notes while I'm watching Raw as well. And I gathered 56 photos, screenshots, while we're watching the show tonight. And I'm taking notes as I go along. And I found myself constantly falling behind. I don't type essays, but it just felt like they tried to shove 3 pounds of bologna in a 1 pound bag. I think we had 8 matches technically tonight. Well, really 7, because Rhea Ripley and Natalya, it wasn't an official match, but we had 8 bouts go down. It's usually 5 to 6. Usually I would say 6. And I know that may not sound like much of a difference, but we really, outside of the main event and maybe Ciampa versus The Miz, all the matches that went on were kind of quick. Raquel Rodriguez and Trish Stratus surprised me. It really did. I mean, Raquel dominated the shit out of Trish. And if you look closely, Trish was not handling some of those bumps very well. That fall away slam, I think that Raquel did, and Trish landing like feet first, ankle first. Dude, that looked, even Corey Graves commented about that. That looked kind of scary. Overall, a fun show. We got a little bit of everything. It just felt like 2 shows combined into one. It was a lot to take in tonight, a lot to take in. And we got Money in the Bank 1 week away. Now, obviously, the big news, and I know this is going to sound kind of stupid, but this may actually spell good news for Shotzi Blackheart. And that is that Logan Paul, much to my dismay, and hear me out, if you've tuned into the weekend shows, you know what I'm going to say. Logan Paul is now in the Money in the Bank ladder match. And I'm not crapping on Logan Paul at all. In fact, anytime you hear me talk about what he's done in the wrestling ring, he is beyond impressed. Logan Paul is doing a fine job when he's out there. But I stress the words, when he's out there. what I said multiple times over the past week is I want to see someone who shows up to WWE week in and week out get that briefcase. Now, yesterday we had a discussion as to why it's probably only one person that should win that briefcase, and it certainly is not Logan Paul. How often does he fight? I feel like the Money in the Bank briefcase will be treated like the 24/7 championship, that Logan Paul will walk around everywhere with the briefcase as a prop, but, you know, how often is he going to show up on Raw or SmackDown when you think about it? I don't like the idea. I mean, Logan Paul, you know he's going to do a crazy-ass bump. You know he's going to take some crazy-ass dive off a ladder. I'm not convinced that he's winning it. There's a lot of people that fear that Logan Paul is going to win Money in the Bank. I'm not so sure. So, okay, he's in the match, but, you know, when people, put it this way, when people complain about people getting title shots when they don't deserve it, Logan Paul has done great in his first three or four matches, but should he be in that position? I don't think so. I'm with some of you in the chat room. Damian Priest should win it. But as I said multiple times over the weekend, I think it really probably, or it should end up in the hands of LA Knight. Because not for nothing, I think Damian Priest walking around with a green briefcase everywhere, especially the way they methodically walk, would look kind of goofy unless Finn Balor has an extreme jealousy every time he sees that briefcase. That's the only way I could see that working. I think LA Knight, just matching his character, the way he talks, the way he, you know, perceives himself, the way he presents himself, him walking around with the briefcase, I can envision it. It looks right. It sounds right. And I know people have been crapping on those briefcases for years, but the fact of the matter is that briefcase more times than not gives opportunity for someone, gives elevation for someone. So although Austin Theory's briefcase run was shitty, although Carmella's briefcase run was horrendous, although some others were not all that spectacular, there are people that did get elevated because of it. So you got to hold out hope that whoever gets this briefcase gets an opportunity to be able to go to the next level. And think about the briefcase, too. It gets you sometimes to championship status without a feud, without a storyline. You just cash in the briefcase. You got your win. You got your belt. You know, that's the thing that's the big challenge. So, anyway, we'll talk about Raw. Tonight's going to be a shorter show. I'm exhausted. This weekend was Father's Day. Happy Father's Day again to everyone out there. My father's in Florida. He's coming back tomorrow, but I spent it with family. And trust me, you know, it was a crazy weekend. Tonight we're going to talk about Raw. We're going to talk about Money in the Bank, a couple of previews for NXT and AEW, some ratings. And congratulations to Roosh. You know, we like to spread good news on the shows. How's this for a Father's Day gift? Roosh and his wife, proud parents of a little baby girl on Father's Day. So, happy Father's Day, Roosh. Congratulations to him and his family. And, yeah, I wanted to spread that. I know most people are not. So, I just saw that. I thought it was pretty cool, especially on Father's Day. I mean, you can't make that shit up. So, that good timing. Good timing. By the way, over the weekend, we were having some fun making fun of Kevin Dunn. Yeah, I kind of rhymed just now. We had some fun making fun of Kevin Dunn because he got his teeth done. And we were doing a lot of beaver jokes over the weekend, and a few of you wanted to see the picture. So here you go. It is very blurry because WWE has only put up like a tiny 300px version of Vince's new photo and Kevin Dunn's. And I tell you, I really believe, and I'm not going to do it now, but if you start zooming the shit out of Vince McMahon's photo, I'm pretty sure it's photoshopped. I think they photoshopped, like, his teeth. I'm not saying that Vince has bad-looking teeth, but if you look at it closely, and yes, it gets heavily pixelated very, very quickly, but if you look at it closely, something's up, and it's not just the stash. They really, really touched that son of a bitch up, so unbelievable. the beaver got his teeth fixed. And Friday, hey, we talked about it on Saturday's Don Tony show. We talked about it yesterday on social media. WWE made it official. It is happening at Money in the Bank, the Bloodline Civil War. The Usos will be taking on Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa. And yes, we talked about it. This will be the second premium live event in a row that Roman Reigns does not defend the championship. He did defend over the weekend against Rey Mysterio, as we talked about before. But Money in the Bank, a week from this Saturday, the Usos versus Roman and Solo. A lot of people think that Jey Uso or Jimmy Uso may end up taking on Roman Reigns for that championship down the line. I personally don't like that. I mean, it furthers the storyline really, really nicely. But, you know, I think Jey should be a Hollywood actor, how good he is with his shit. Do I think Jey Uso should be undisputed WWE heavyweight champion? No. Cody Rhodes has got to finish the story. He will finish the story. It's not even a question. I know people get a little tired of it and you start having doubts. But right now, neither Uso should be heavyweight champion. The Uso should remain a tag team and kick ass. Let's just hope that 2 months from now, they're not stuck in a feud against Hit Row or, you know, just another mediocre tag team. You know, just being honest about it. But that is happening at Money in the Bank. So now, why did I say Shotzi Blackheart early on in the show? Well, as of right now, Money in the Bank has 5 matches announced. Seth Rollins versus Finn Balor for the World Heavyweight Championship. And they did a spectacular job tonight, really putting a lot of heat on that match. I still feel that there's no chance Seth Rollins loses the title anytime soon. But you really bought into what Finn Balor did to Seth Rollins tonight. Beat the shit out of him. 3 coup de grace off the top, off the top rope. Well, really middle rope to the floor. I mean, Seth Rollins is outside on the floor and he's hitting coup de grace from the apron. That's crazy shit. I mean, it looked great on TV. The camera work was spectacular. Did great. Seth Rollins ended up not having a title defense tonight. And I tell you, in hindsight, I'm happy with it. Because tomorrow in NXT, Seth Rollins takes on Bron Breakker. So now the suspension of disbelief is that we have a less than 100% Seth Rollins going to NXT who can be very vulnerable. And Bron Breakker now, if you think about it, I'm sure a lot of people didn't. Seth Rollins' ribs and Bron Breakker with his spear and some of his offense, yeah, Bron's got to work on those ribs. You just, no, I don't think, if anybody is imagining this, I don't think Seth Rollins will, maybe he will wrap, have to, in storyline, wrap his ribs, but I don't think he shoves a metal plate inside the wrap so when Bron goes for the spear and knocks his ass out. Didn't that happen to Bron Breakker once before? I think it did. I don't remember who it was that he speared. He speared somebody. I don't know if it was Dolph Ziggler. He speared somebody, and they had, and it looked awful. I remember that time. Grayson Waller, thank you, Genesis. Grayson Waller, that looked awful. It looked like a cookie sheet. Like, it just did not look intimidating. But Finn Balor did a great job tonight. Now, the men's Money in the Bank ladder match now has 7 participants. The women have 6. And on Friday, they're having Bayley versus Shotzi. And Io Sky put Bayley's spot on the line. I know, kind of dopey. We talked about it. But now, because if you remember Saturday's edition of the Don Tony show, I came up with the idea that maybe Bayley and Shotzi ends up with a no contest, some bullshit finish, and Adam Pearce adds Shotzi, and Bayley keeps her spot as well, and that makes 7. Now with Logan Paul added to the men's side, you have 7 on the men's side and only 6 on the women's side. So there is a good chance that Shotzi may actually be added to this Money in the Bank ladder match after all. So we'll have to tune in Friday to see that. As of right now, we have Ricochet versus Shinsuke versus LA Knight versus Santos Escobar, Butch, Damian Priest, and Logan Paul. That is the men's Money in the Bank ladder match. We have Zelina Vega, Becky Lynch, Zoe Stark, either Bayley or Shotzi, Io Sky, and Trish Stratus. Yes, Trish Stratus advances to the Money in the Bank. Very, very surprised at it. A little goofy the way it went down. I mean, it's kind of genius, but it's not, you know, Becky Lynch causing the disqualification tonight because she went out there and she got into it with Zoe Stark. Okay, fine. No disqualification there. Zoe's not in the match. But Trish went outside the ring, and I could have sworn by watching it, Trish put her hands on Becky Lynch, and Becky retaliating and throwing Trish into the barricade, you know, causing a DQ, kind of cheesy, but I see why they're going with that. Raquel Rodriguez, not happy. Not happy at all. And if you listen to the audio, you know, Becky's like, I admit it, I'm a hothead. You know, I screwed up, this, this, and that. And then later on, she talks to Byron Saxton, and she's got no friends in the match. And if she's going to go down, she's going to go down in a blaze of glory, and she's taking Zoe Stark and Trish Stratus with her. I personally think Trish Stratus is not going to be around for the long haul. I think we all understand that. Trish Stratus is going to be around for a very short period of time. Maybe now this Money in the Bank women's match allows some dissension between Trish and Zoe. And that's how you could break away Zoe Stark and Trish Stratus. Does it lead to a match? Could. But maybe Zoe Stark, you know, is more into herself. Or vice versa. Trish Stratus feels that since she's the GOAT, that she should be the one grabbing the briefcase, and maybe she has a falling out with Zoe Stark. It's not too soon, because we don't know how long Trish Stratus is going to be around. Trish Stratus, I just don't see being around for 6 months. We'll see. We will see. If she sticks around, then fine. Too soon. But this is a great opportunity where you have Zoe and Trish in a match together, every person for themselves. So if you want to tease any dissension between Trish and Zoe Stark, this is the only opportunity, other than the Royal Rumble. The Royal Rumble. So, all right. Very quickly, if you are interested, this week's wrestling history show, it will drop Tuesday at 4 o'clock. We got some awesome moments to get into. We had, obviously, everything going on with the Rock and Wrestling Connection, Dusty Rhodes winning the championship. I think Austin 316 was born. Edge, you'll have to find out about that. Unfortunately, yeah, we're going to have to revisit it, the Benoit tragedy. Benoit tragedy is coming up. But, you know, Owen Hart, you know, also a tragedy. You know, that's coming up as well. You know, so the show talks about that. Then you got some lighthearted moments. You know, Vicky Guerrero's last ever match in WWE, taking on Stephanie McMahon and Chocolate Pudding. We got Tough Enough, very famous match, Hostile City Showdown between Sabu and Cactus Jack. And sorry if I trigger anybody, but this also happened this week in wrestling history. Yeah, Donald Trump. Didn't he sell Raw back to Vince McMahon and fired Santina? Santina?
Hi, I'm Santina. Nice to meet you.
I hated that. But you know what? My favorite King of the Ring match of all time, you know, even though it really wasn't like a King of the Ring match, it just was a match that happened at King of the Ring, the street fight between Kurt Angle and Shane McMahon. That was crazy. That shit was crazy that happened this week. So check out this week's history show. I think you'll really enjoy it. Before we get into Raw, just two very quick previews I just want to share with everyone out there. Tomorrow, NXT, this is what they have planned. Why are you going so fast? Relax. Close your eyes and breathe deeply. Oh, I hope they don't put Cora Jade on a fucking losing streak. She lost to Thea Hell last week. She's taking on Dana Brooke. Dana Brooke tomorrow night on NXT. We also have, talk to me, Seth Rollins defending the World Heavyweight Championship against Braun. Braun Breaker cut an awesome promo tonight. Cut an awesome promo tonight on Raw. Smooth, calm, collected. Decent pop from the crowd. Confident. And as he said to Kathy Kelly, get used to this face. You're going to see a lot more of it on Monday nights. So Braun will be taking on Seth Rollins, and pay attention to those ribs tomorrow. That will be the storyline of that match. Also tomorrow we have Wes Lee defending the NXT North American Championship against Tyler Bate with Mustafa Ali. It's a special guest referee. There will be a little bit of an issue between Wes Lee and Mustafa Ali, and that will lead to an eventual match. That is happening. We're going to have a face-to-face between Carmelo Hayes and Baron Corbin. And also Chase University is going to throw Thea Hale a pep rally. Oh, that's so fucking nice. And then we have Valentina Feroz and Yulisa Leon. They're taking on Last Legend and Jakara Jackson. And I think we got a three-way to determine the number one contenders. Yeah, for the NXT Tag Team Championships. It just goes to show you, with all due respect, how far the tag team division in NXT has dropped in such a short amount of time. Brooks and Jensen, who are good, I mean, and Malik Blade and Idris and Ofi are good as well. Hank Walker and Tank Legend, I just can't buy into. They're going to be fighting for the number one contendership, and honestly, I don't see any of that. I'm just not into any of that. I look at it, I'm like, what happened to the women's division? What happened to the tag team division? And what happens to Carmelo Hayes once he's done with Baron Corbin? Something to think about. You look at that division, it doesn't feel like Ilya is in the cards yet. So it's really interesting. I mean, they're putting on some solid shows. Something feels like tremendous, and they didn't draft that many people to the main roster. No disrespect. Kaden Carter, Casey Canzara, very good. They were not the must-see TV on NXT. Their quarter ratings were not all that spectacular. You look at Odyssey Jones. He wasn't knocking out of the park. Sangha hardly did anything. And, oh, and I got something to say about Sangha tonight. I got a picture I want to share with you. AEW Wednesday. I got to be honest with you. I'm not feeling this that much. We're going to have a concession stand brawl between Jeff Jarrett and Mark Briscoe. Chris Statlander is going to defend the TBS championship against Taya Valkyrie. Taya Valkyrie probably will turn heel. A lot of people feel that that's coming. We have the Hardys taking on the Guns, which will be interesting. Adam Cole will talk. I'm sure other people will talk as well. And then we got, because of the Forbidden Door pay-per-view coming up, we have Orange Cassidy and Katsuyori Shibata versus Daniel Garcia and Zack Sabre Jr. And then you have a six-man tag, a trios match, Chris Jericho, Sammy Guevara, Minoru Suzuki versus Action Andretti, Darius Martin, and AR Fox. And if you ever had to bet the ranch, your house, your life, your liver, your significant others, if you had to bet anything in this world, you bet that match. What are the chances that AR Fox, Darius Martin, and Action Andretti are winning that match? It just feels lacking. But tomorrow, we will find out Collision's rating. I started with 840. By the weekend, my prediction Saturday morning was in the sevens. Is that a good rating to a lot of you out there? Is that what we should expect? Am I going to be way off? We will see. Oh, and next Tuesday, the Don, Tony, and Kevin Castle show returns once again. We will be doing preview and predictions for Money in the Bank. I already know that there are four matches out of the five that he and I have different winners predicted. 4 to 5. I don't know if you could predict which match that we kind of agree on. But, yeah, as of right now, we have different winners for 4 of those 5 matches. So that'll stream live on Patreon next Tuesday, and it'll be available on DonTony.com for everybody afterwards. So let's get into Raw. Now I'll give you some quick ratings. Some ratings are delayed because of the Juneteenth holiday, obviously. So we're not going to have a whole bunch of ratings tonight. But tonight's Raw, taking place from Cleveland, Ohio. Seth Rollins opens up the show. And, you know, we're wondering who his opponent is going to be. And, you know, I'm trying to think outside the box. And I'm like, hey, it's 619 day. All right, I know Rey Mysterio and Dominic Mysterio don't get along anymore, but it's 619 day. Damian Priest got a title shot. Finn Balor is going to get a title shot. I thought to mock Rey Mysterio, maybe Dominic Mysterio challenges Seth Rollins tonight. You get all three members of Judgment Day. They all end up with a title shot against Seth, and maybe in honor of 619 day, but we did not get that. Seth Rollins comes out, and before he could say anything, here comes Finn Balor. And Finn Balor attacks Seth Rollins outside the ring. Doesn't hit him with one, doesn't hit him with two, but he hits him with 3 coup de grace, rushed to the hospital, bad ribs. The highlight of all of this, seeing Jason Jordan at ringside. I'm not going to start zooming in and fucking with the pictures, but you could go on Google. You could see some shots. In fact, I think Finn Balor had a little stare down with Kurt Angle's son earlier tonight. So Finn Balor just destroys Seth Rollins. And then we go to a commercial break. And when we come back from commercial, Seth Rollins is in the back being attended to. And here comes Finn Balor once again. Attacks him. And my friends, I got to be honest with you. I'm going to reveal my age when I show you this. I promise you some people will pop, and you'll understand why I say this. Do you remember, and it's been satired over the years. Do you remember like back in like the 70s or the 80s, they would show like some like type of movement or some type of goofiness, and then there'll be a freeze frame and it'll say, "We'll be right back after these messages." I don't know who recently spoofed it, but it's been satired to death. And somebody online with the Finn Balor attack to Seth Rollins put this up, and I laughed my ass off. If anybody knows about those "We'll Be Right Back" commercials, tell me that doesn't make you laugh. I saw that and I was like, oh shit, that is fucking hilarious. Young folk out there, please forgive me for revealing my age a little bit, but trust me, there's a lot of people. The Eric Andre Show, yeah, that's one of many who have spoofed it, but I thought that was hilarious because especially if you look at it closely, look at Finn Balor in the background. He's about to attack Seth Rollins. We'll be right back after these messages. What did somebody said they asked music? Well, how did they used to do that inside? We'll be right back after these messages, something like that. So anyway, Finn Balor attacks him, beats the fuck out of him, leaves him laying on the ground, and he is stomping the shit out of Seth Rollins, and Seth Rollins rushed to the hospital. We go to commercial, and just when we think that everything, you know, we could catch our breath and try to like soak this in a little bit. Here comes The Miz. He's complaining. He was going to challenge Seth Rollins tonight for the World Heavyweight Championship. But now he can't because of what Finn Balor did to The Miz. So The Miz says he's going to issue his own open challenge tonight so he could show everyone what a winner looks like amongst a crowd of losers. He gets booed out of the building, and then we get his opponent. And lo and behold, it's Tommaso Ciampa. Tommaso Ciampa comes out looking great. And I tell you, The Miz is on a roll of having some spectacular matches. They brawled to the outside. They brawled to the inside. They really went at it. The Miz got a decent amount of offense as well. But Ciampa looked great. The crowd really, really warmed him back. And yes, Cleveland, a little more biased if you know the history with Gargano and Ciampa and others. But he looked great. Looked like he has not skipped a beat. The Miz put on a great performance. And I tell you, you know, I got to meet The Miz once. We've told that story many times in the past. And the meeting I had with him was pretty cool. I mean, this was back in the Tough Enough days. And one thing I will say is that, you know, I've always had like some appreciation for Miz. And there's been, and look, I know there's a lot of you out there that still can't stand him. But, you know, this is a guy that went from being this MTV punk. Listen, when he used to do that, hoorah, I wanted to fucking just, you know that when he had the spiked hair, the blonde, I wanted to fucking light it on fire. I wanted to just put a little gasoline on the top and just light it on fire and just pretend like I'm blowing out candles. He had his bags thrown out in the street. He deserved a lot of the shit that he got early on, but he matured and he grew up. Then he got married to Maryse, had a family, really. And yeah, he may not have had 4-star matches, but he did enough and that prolonged his career. And it's kind of mind-boggling to realize how many years the guy has been actually out there. And it's cool to see people now starting to acknowledge, like, you know what? Miz is putting on some pretty fucking good matches. You know, do I want to see him World Heavyweight Champion again? No, no. But I appreciate what I see. And put on a great match tonight again. But unfortunately, it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. In the end, Tommaso Ciampa hits him with the fairy tale ending, gets the pin, and the match is over. Put on a great performance, but still, you know, not enough for The Miz to overtake Ciampa. Great fucking match. Welcome back, Tommaso Ciampa. Next, we had the Judgment Day, and this was great. Finn Balor walking around like me when I gotta pee, and I'm standing in line for something, and the line won't move. He's pacing back and forth. He can't hold it in, and he's just anxious. So Judgment Day come out there, and each one of them get an opportunity to get on the mic. First, it's Finn Balor. And Finn Balor, you know, just really, really killing it right now. Finn Balor really nailing it. And he says, you know, your little open challenge tonight is canceled because of me. I'm the only one that takes the World Heavyweight Championship from you. Then I said to myself, ah, shit, there goes Dominic Mysterio possibly facing Seth tonight. Because why would Dominic face Seth after Finn Balor makes that statement? So Finn says that, and the fans are starting to serenade Seth while Finn is talking. Finn addresses the fans and says, you'll be serenading Rollins at his funeral. And they continue the serenading a little bit. Rhea Ripley gets the mic. Rhea Ripley tells the fans, sit down, shut up, and respect Mammy. At Money in the Bank. I don't want to do it, everyone. I'm tempted. Oh, Charlotte. Now, she was passionate tonight. At Money in the Bank, the WWE Universe will be bowing to our feet. Finn will bring home the title. Damian Priest will bring home the briefcase. I have the women's division on lockdown, and my dom-dom will take down your favorite, Cody Rhodes. There's a rumor going around that Rhea Ripley might be injured right now. What we saw on Raw tonight might lead to some speculation. No, I'm not saying that she can't move around, but maybe she can't leave her feet at the present time. People remember some issues, you know, not too long ago. You know, I don't think it's anything serious, obviously, but when we get to Natty, you'll understand why some people think there might be an injury. Then some people were speculating, and even before the match was going to go down tonight. So she cuts the promo. Damian Priest gets on the mic, and basically Damian Priest very, very quick, talk a little Spanish, saying that the briefcase is going to come home with him. And then we get Dom Dom. Dom Dom grabs the mic. See, he is Dom Dom, and I am Don Don. I'm Don Don. Dom Dom, we're not going to keep doing that, everyone. Dominic gets the fucking mic, and he issues a challenge to Cody Rhodes. Tonight, you and two others versus the Judgment Day. And Dominic getting the heat from the crowd, confident. Love it. Love it. Still remember that Raw, which was Dominic Mysterio and Austin Theory's breaking out party. I got to look up the date of that episode. That Raw, that night, I don't remember what date it was, but it was the coming out party for both of those guys. I mean, we didn't never expected what we were going to get now with Dominic, but he's killing it. You really think about it. Every single member of Judgment Day is killing it right now. Why you would break them up makes literally no sense right now. There is absolutely no sense. And please do not throw the JD McDonagh factor in there. I don't care that he lost a main event tonight. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. He lost a main event tonight. We'll talk about that in a few moments. But the crowd doesn't care about JD McDonagh yet. The crowd would be pissed the fuck off if somebody in Judgment Day gets booted in favor of JD McDonagh. Once JD McDonagh gets over and the crowd is invested in him, and you have that, just that presence that he belongs, that's when you make your move. So Dominic issues the challenge to Cody Rhodes tonight. You and two others versus the Judgment Day. So now we get a replay of what went down Friday on SmackDown between the Usos, Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa, Kevin Owens. We can't mention Kevin Owens, the bloodline. People are starting to get sick of the anger stuff, especially the word that Sami Zayn. You know, I had two of you DM me tonight and say, that's Vince McMahon. And I got to be honest with you, I kind of feel that way. I feel like Dr. Shelby is coming back. I don't know if I want to see Dr. Shelby with Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens does need a Snickers. But they show the replay of what happened between Roman Reigns, Solo Sikoa, and the Usos, Jey Uso. I'm out. I put up some fan cam footage, which was pretty cool because you see the whole crowd pop in and you hear it. By the way, that crowd tonight, the hot tag that Sami Zayn got was loud. The hot tag that Cody got a minute or two later was mind-boggling. I mean, if you were not sure if Cody Rhodes is the number one babyface in WWE right now, as far as Cleveland goes, he is. Just check out those two hot tags tonight. Just listen to that crowd. I mean, it was crazy. I mean, you don't normally get reactions like that for almost anybody. I mean, the Usos got it as well the last 2 weeks. But 3 weeks. But they showed a little replay from that. And the reason why I'm mentioning it is because what happens next? We see Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn in the back. Byron Saxton interviews Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, wants their thoughts about what happened on Friday. Kevin Owens is angry. Why do we have to keep talking about the bloodline? I don't want to hear about it. Why do I have to keep talking? And Sami Zayn is like, look, you know, I hate to say this, Kevin, but I have to say it. He calls Kevin Owens a rageaholic. A rageaholic. Not like an alcoholic, a rageaholic. He says that Kevin Owens has an anger problem, and he challenges Kevin Owens to not blow up for the rest of the show. Now, just think of, I know I'm overthinking this, but just think of when someone is an alcoholic or addicted to anything. And if Kevin Owens is a rageaholic, I mean, if he doesn't get riled up for the rest of the night, all is good. You know, I don't like it. I mean, it's funny to an extent, but it feels forced. It doesn't feel, you know, natural. But we did have a funny segment tonight, which we'll get into a little bit. So Kevin Owens calms down. He walks off. Sami Zayn apologized to Byron Saxton for what he saw tonight. Next, we had Caden Carter, Casey Catanzaro. They beat Sonya Deville and Chelsea Green. Decent match. Again, the opening match, Ciampa and Miz, the main event, and Trish and Raquel to a certain extent were the longest matches of the night. The rest of the stuff just felt like filler. This was a rather quick match, but they look good in their victory. So Katana Chance and Casey Catanzaro, they do pick up the win. We then get Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes is being interviewed by Kathy Kelly. And this was very, very quick. Cody Rhodes brings up Cleveland. He says, Cleveland, you're on fire tonight. And he says the Judgment Day are also on fire. Rhea Ripley, what she's doing with the women's division. Damian Priest could end up with the Money in the Bank briefcase. Finn Balor going to challenge Seth Rollins for the World Heavyweight Championship. And then there's Dom. And all Cody goes on to do is simply accept the match that we're going to get later on. And yes, I wrote it in a synopsis right at this very moment. And I know you all figured out it was going to be Cody Rhodes versus Cody Rhodes, Kevin Owens, and Sami Zayn versus the Judgment Day. It's the only team that should have been. Some of you were hoping that maybe he chooses Alpha Academy. That would have been fun. It would have been a nice little rub, but storyline purposes, it really wasn't a fit. So Cody Rhodes accepts. Then we get the rematch. Indus Sheer beating Shelton Benjamin and Cedric Alexander. Cedric and Shelton attacking before the bell. Little double teamwork. Outside the ring, some nice offense to Sanga, but Shelton Benjamin re-enters the ring, is greeted by Veer Mahan with kicks and chops. Sanga with a kick in Shelton's side. Corey Graves was selling it as his liver. Looked great. Then he hit the double team finisher for the win. But I got to ask you something. Now, I should talk. Because I'm a chubby monkey. I'm probably a little bit more than a chubby monkey. That's why I'm back on keto. But I got to ask you a question, especially for my friends that follow NXT. I'm gonna enlarge this picture. Is it just me? It looks like Sanga eating a little bit too much curry lately. Maybe eating a little bit too much Spanish food, Italian food, pizza, White Castle, ice cream, cake. It's not just the picture. I'm not going to rewind. Just go watch the match. Is it just me? But does it Sanga look like that he lost a decent amount of muscle definition, and he's got a pretty big tummy? I don't recall Sanga. Trust me, I remember. Let me put it this way. People in the chat room will say I'm not lying, especially those who used to be part of the NXT watch parties that I hosted. Sanga, if you didn't watch NXT, Sanga used to come to the ring wearing black boots, black shoes, black boots, and trunks. And on his boots, he actually handwrote his initials. But when you looked at him with his black trunks and his black shoes and his hairy chest, his physique looked like Goldberg. A lot of people were like, that's like an Indian version of Goldberg. His physique looked a lot like Goldberg. And I remember quite often us talking about it like, yeah, it's not just because of the black outfit. No, I don't remember anybody saying he looks like a chubby Goldberg. His physique looked a lot like Goldberg. He had a big upper definition. His chest, his stomach area was very, very tight. So I just wanted to mention it. Again, I should talk. I mean, I admit that. But, you know, I noticed that tonight. I'm like, looks like he put on about, you know, maybe like 15 pounds and not in the right areas. Okay. Now we get comedy. Any of you out there feel like Sami Zayn was testing Kevin Owens or Matt Riddle? Wasn't Sami Zayn a little bit too overexcited? Oh, look, it's Riddle. Riddle, what's going on with you? And I thought it was a test for Kevin Owens. And Riddle's like, bro, it's been one crazy hot bro summer, dude. And then he looks to Kevin Owens, and Kevin Owens has got that look on his face like, oh, no, God, no, please. I promise I wouldn't blow up tonight. Fucking Riddle pisses me off. He pushes all the wrong buttons. What the fuck? I don't want to hear it. No, no, no. I got to keep my mouth shut. And Riddle is like, so, Kevin, have you been watching the movies lately? Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, Little Giants. They're great movies. So for a brief moment, Kevin Owens snaps for a second. And he's like, oh, my God, Matt. And then he calms down. He's like, yes, they are good movies. And Kevin Owens is like, good luck with your match. And Riddle's like, thanks, Kev. And he taps him, and Kevin Owens is like, don't touch me. And he storms off. I thought that was all designed by Sami Zayn to test Kevin Owens. A little goofy. But, you know, that segment I thought was okay. Wasn't overdone. Because we know, you know, remember the relationship with Elias? Actually, it would have been funny if Sami Zayn bumped into Elias also tonight. Seriously, they should have done that. They should have had another segment fitted in somewhere where they're walking in the back and here comes Elias. Or, you know, they're not going to shave his beard just for Ezekiel for one night appearance, but you could have had Elias acting like, he, you know, excuse me, I'm talking to my brother Ezekiel, and Kevin Owens just like riles up and he's about to explode. They should have done that tonight. WWE, you missed one. That's okay. All right. Logan Paul tonight. Listen, Logan Paul is great in the ring. Very smooth on the mic. A little confusing with his promo tonight. And I'm sure you caught on to it as well. Logan Paul is trash Cleveland before. Logan Paul is out and he's sitting on a ladder. So you realize right away he's in a Money in the Bank ladder match. So Logan Paul is out there and he says, oh, it's great to be back. And the crowd buys into it a little bit. He says that Cleveland has some of the best stars, LeBron James, Jerry the King Lawler, Logan Paul. And Logan Paul reflects that how he got everything he ever wanted when he left Cleveland. So now it's like, ah, oh, fuck, I forgot. This guy bashes us. So Logan Paul is trying to rip Cleveland. And he says, like, everybody... He left and everybody stood back and froze their asses off that Cleveland smells like industrial steel and the Browns still suck. He says Cleveland still keeps losing. He reveals his brother, Jake Paul, lost a recent match. He lost his WrestleMania match against Seth Rollins. He said Miz lost a match tonight because Miz is from Cleveland as well. Logan Paul vowed that he will single-handedly put some respect back into Cleveland's name. And he says that he got a special invitation to appear in the Money in the Bank ladder match in London. So Logan Paul is officially in. But at the very end of his promo, he's predicted victory. And he says that when he wins, he's going to come back to Cleveland. He mentioned some specific pub, and they're going to drink, and everybody's going to party. And people are, like, confused because he's been ripping the shit out of Cleveland. And now at the very end, he said that if he wins, he's going to go back to Cleveland. He's going to go to his pub, and everybody's going to party and drink. And I was like, did you forget that? You should have, like, said, like, a different state or something. Like, you know, I'm going to come back to Cleveland and I'm going to just drive through and, you know, pick up my bags and go somewhere else. Like, at the very end, he's, like, talking about bringing it back to Cleveland. I thought it was confusing. But then we had, you know, it was okay. You know, some surprises, obviously. Ricochet comes out first. Ricochet, you know... Congratulations for being in Money in the Bank. He reminds everyone that magical moment at the Royal Rumble. Remember when Ricochet and Logan Paul dove from both sides of the ring? Awesome moment. We may see something happen like that again, they're both in the fucking match. Something crazy could be planned here. But Ricochet is happy. Next thing you know, pretty much almost immediately, here comes Shinsuke Nakamura. Shinsuke talking some fluid English. Throwing a Logan Paul, you in Money in the Bank ladder match. And blah, 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 blah. And then he's interrupted by LA fucking Knight. LA Knight gets a crazy pop from the crowd. LA Knight says that we got a guy here that does podcasts or does video, makes videos for 14-year-old girls, and he's a social media star. And crowd got into it. And he, I love the line. It does feel fed, but he's like, I'm standing here looking at two guys that are how did he say it? He said that it was they're as useless as basketball cleats. Now, I know some people didn't get it immediately, but there's no such thing as basketball cleats. There's baseball cleats. You don't wear basketball cleats on a basketball court. So he's basically saying that Nakamura and Ricochet are pretty much worthless. Then Santos Escobar, you know, I don't mind the Duolingo promos. He's doing that quite often now. You know, hey, what's going on, everyone? Buenos dias, queridos amigos. After the show, I'm going to go eat some spaghetti and meatballs. Oh, Domine, that's a show. Go to me, mange the spaghetti and meatball. Like, I know he wants to translate for his hometown, but, you know, I don't know, a little bit too much. But he goes out there, you know, he's predicting victory for La Raza. And then we're like, oh, I can't wait to see what Butch is going to say. I don't know, Butch ain't saying shit. Butch just decides, I'm just going to walk down to the ring. He's got no microphone in hand. He decks Logan Paul. Everybody's brawling. Everybody ends up out of the ring for a brief moment, and Logan Paul dives outside the ring, lands on his feet. You know, athletic, but really wasn't really impressive if you really think about it. And after he does that, he goes back in the ring and climbs the ladder and simulates that he's grabbing the Money in the Bank briefcase. The crowd is not happy, but he did what he needed to do tonight. So Logan Paul teasing that he's going to be the Money in the Bank winner. Next, we had Matt Riddle versus Ludwig Kaiser. Matt Riddle gets a hard-fought victory. I mean, we've seen Matt Riddle fight numerous times against Kaiser and Vinci lately. This, I believe, is setting up SummerSlam. I think we're going to get Riddle versus Gunther at SummerSlam. I think it is necessary. Riddle gets the win on Gunther, I mean, on Ludwig Kaiser, but then, as we see almost every single week, we get interference. Right after the match is over, Gunther hits the ring, attacks Matt Riddle, Ludwig Kaiser attacking Matt Riddle as well, and then Gunther, it looked vicious, everyone. I loved it. I should have got some animated video so you could see it. Gunther basically drops the knee on the, I would say, shin area of Matt Riddle, and then he takes his foot and he stomps the ankle of Matt Riddle. And yeah, I mean, it's, you know, you're not going to intentionally try to hurt the guy, but it looked great on TV. And Riddle is writhing in pain. You know, as we've been talking about, nobody comes to the save. Nobody saves anybody anymore. Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, they're nowhere to be found. No one helps Natty later on. No one helps Seth Rollins. Nobody comes to the aid of anybody anymore. So Matt Riddle's crying in the ring. Trainers come back out. They help him to the back. And then we go back for commercial. Riddle is being shown, tended to by trainers. And then we see Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. And Ludwig Kaiser and Gunther show up. And Kevin Owens is getting pissed off again. He's getting angry. And Ludwig Kaiser, rubbing it in a little bit, he's like, ladies and gentlemen, we just wanted you to make sure that you saw what happened to Riddle, because if you're not careful, that's going to happen to you also. Kevin Owens starts to snap. And he's like, why do I have to keep you? And he's snapping. But Sami Zayn gets a text message. So Sami Zayn just nonchalantly, he tells Gunther and Ludwig Kaiser, we'll have to continue this another time. So Sami Zayn, he takes his two titles. He takes his two titles and he toasts it in front of Kaiser and Gunther's face and walks off. Kevin Owens just looks at them and he's like, and he does it too. And Gunther is standing there laughing. He's like, look at these fools. But Sami Zayn got a text message. So it's fun to watch social media trying to figure out what it is. And people are like, oh my God, it's going to be the return of Drew McIntyre. Oh my God, it's Dr. Shelby. Oh my God, it's this and that. A lot of people were overthinking it a little bit. But we'll find out who sent the text message a little bit later. We see video of Alpha Academy working out in the back, doing a little bit more training. Unfortunately, the training didn't matter tonight. Yep, we got a rare one. The Viking Raiders defeated American Alpha. Alpha Academy, excuse me. American Alpha. Alpha Academy, double A. It was a quick match. I would say 3 minutes at the most. Chad Gable getting some great offense. Beautiful moonsault outside to both members of the Viking Raiders. Diving headbutt to Eric. But then we get Valhalla. She interferes. She steps on the apron. And while Chad Gable is distracted, Valhalla is on the apron. And here comes Maxxine Dupri. She pulls Valhalla off the apron and then hits her with a suplex. Unfortunately, Chad Gable doesn't realize that Eric is back in the ring, and Eric knees the back of Chad Gable's head for the win. So the Viking Raiders get the victory over Alpha Academy. So, to me, I don't think this does any momentum whatsoever for the Viking Raiders. Unfortunately, I think they are damaged goods. That just because you get a victory here doesn't really mean anything. I think this was all designed just to show. And Maxxine could work, obviously. She was in NXT. I think people forget about that. So next we have the Judgment Day backstage. And Rhea Ripley wants to make sure that they're all on the same page. Damian Priest says that their issues aren't about each other. And Rhea Ripley is satisfied. But now she has to hit the ring and deal with Natalya. Natalya is interviewed in the back. Natalya, once again, you know, after what happened with Night of Champions, she doesn't know, you know, if she belongs. She doesn't know if she still has it. So this match is very important for tonight. She needs to prove not only to everybody, to herself as well, that she belongs still. Nah, ain't happening. Rhea Ripley comes out, and Natty, she hits the ring, and she's smiling and waving to the crowd, doesn't realize that Rhea Ripley's right behind her. And Rhea Ripley, pretty much 2 minutes later, this is pretty much what you had. Rhea Ripley lays her out, takes her outside the ring, tosses her into the barricade. I mean, hits her with the with a finisher and just beats the shit out of Natty. I mean, just tossed her around like a salad, hit the riptide. The match never started. So because Natty was unable to compete, this was pretty much like in this year 2 weeks ago. And now the speculation continues, is Rhea Ripley injured? Because, yes, she tossed around Natty, but Natty was the one doing all the bumping. So understand this is a storyline with Natty as well. You know, I mean, I still remember Night of Champions and people like, oh, how could you do that on Natty's birthday, have her lose in a minute and this and that? No, I mean, she's a veteran. She knows what her role is right now, is to make Rhea look even more dominant. Do not feel bad for Natty. Natty's had a storied career and it's not exactly over yet. But, you know, this is where it's at right now. I just can't believe after WrestleMania and after the draft that this is all you got for Natty. I'm kind of surprised by it, to be honest with you. It just seems like a lot of... See, I mean, Seth Rollins seems to be the most active champion of them all. Austin Theory's working a little bit. So now we get Raquel Rodriguez. She's in the back. She's about to have her Money in the Bank qualifying match. And she says, you know, it's an honor to be facing a legend, a Hall of Famer. But she's not happy what she just saw out there with Rhea Ripley and Natalya. Rhea Ripley shows up and gets into Raquel Rodriguez's face. This might be the next feud for Rhea Ripley. This very well could end up being the next feud. Raquel Rodriguez looks good face-to-face with Rhea Ripley. So Rhea's like, what are you going to do about it? And Raquel says she better hope that she doesn't win Money in the Bank qualifier tonight, because if she does, she's going to go to Money in the Bank and she's going to win. And she said that Rhea Ripley isn't ready for Raquel Rodriguez. Yes, she took Asuka's line. I saw people online having a conniption. Raquel, that's gimmick infringement. She used Asuka's line. Oh, eat a fucking Snickers. Eat a Snickers. So, what ends up happening next? Well, Cody Rhodes, seen in the back. He's stretching his arm. He's loosening it up. We don't know who his opponent, his partners are going to be yet in the match. And Akira Tozawa shows up. I will be your partner. And Cody Rhodes is like, listen, I really appreciate it. I appreciate your hair, because they do have similar hair. And Tozawa walks off. Cody Rhodes doesn't commit to it. And then we find out that it was Cody who sent the text message to Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. And basically, Sami says, we'd be honored to be your partners. And Cody's like, well, Tozawa was just here and this and that. And Kevin Owens like, oh, that sucks. We were going to do this. Da, da, da. And Cody's like, no, I didn't commit to it. So they agree they're going to be the team tonight. And, yeah, that's our main event. The Judgment Day versus Cody Rhodes, Sami Zayn, and Kevin Owens. So now we got your Money in the Bank qualifier match. And it is, believe it or not, Trish Stratus defeating Raquel Rodriguez. Kevin Patrick said that this was Trish Stratus's first match back in 12 years on Raw. He was actually wrong. It's her first singles match on Raw in the last 12 years. And for anybody that is curious, the last time Trish Stratus wrestled a singles match on Raw, she lost to Vicky Guerrero. Just so everybody knows the history. Early on in this match, Raquel is just dominating the shit out of Trish Stratus. She was whipping her back and forth. She like had her in a bear hug and was just like whipping her around. If you remember China's debut when she picked up Marlena and just started. Do you remember, because I watched it the other day, do you remember the Naked Gun when I think it's Ricardo Montalban. We thought that he picked up Priscilla Presley. And she's like, Frank! And you see it's a rag doll. It's like just a mannequin. And he just went, that's how Raquel Rodriguez was whipping around Trish Stratus tonight. Trish took a beating tonight. Got to give her credit. Side slam to Trish. Vicious headbutt, snake eyes in the corner, crazy clothesline that silenced a lot of people. But then the fall away slam, and you felt like, okay, Trish might be a little out of it. Zoe Stark tries to interfere a little bit. And next thing you know, Becky Lynch comes to ringside. Becky Lynch goes to lay out Zoe Stark. And then Trish Stratus leaves the ring. Goes up to Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch takes Trish Stratus and throws her into the barricade. The referee sees it, and the referee disqualifies Raquel Rodriguez. So now you have Trish Stratus, believe it or not. She advances to Money in the Bank. And Raquel Rodriguez is not happy. She is not happy at all. Becky Lynch, like I said, if you listen to the audio, she's like, you know, I admit it. I know I'm a hothead, blah, 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 blah. But now this may end up Raquel versus Rhea, if Rhea is not injured. So we go to Bron Breakker next, and he's being interviewed by Kathy Kelly. Guy nailed it, aced it. As I said earlier, he was talking about what happened earlier tonight, that, you know, Seth better not use that as an excuse to get out of the match. He's going to hurt Seth freaking Rollins really freaking bad. He hopes that the doctors prescribe Seth Rollins enough courage to show up. Oh, thank you, Lisa Marie Presley. No, wait. Isn't Lisa Marie Presley the daughter? Yeah, I think, yeah, I don't know. Mrs. Presley, okay? There you go. So anyway, getting back, sorry, buddy. Bron Breakker, you know, just basically throwing shots at Seth Rollins. He hopes the doctors prescribe him enough courage to show up at NXT, and he tells Kathy, get used to Monday Night Raw. Get used to this face much more Monday nights, and who knows, you may be looking at the new world heavyweight champion. Sideways, I never realized how pointy and strange Bron Breakker's nose looks. I don't know if anybody noticed that tonight. I don't know, something looked a little different. I'm not saying he got a nose job, but he just looked a little bit different tonight, but I loved every minute of it. He got a nice little reaction from the crowd. NXT audience is the only audience where Bron Breakker should be fighting Seth Rollins right now. You could revisit that match in the future, but that NXT audience will eat up that match. Not just because of Bron Breakker being there and being a heel. The fact that Seth Rollins is going back to his roots, going back to NXT, that's going to be a cool moment. What kind of rating does it pop tomorrow? I don't think it goes above 700,000. It's not going to pop hundreds of thousands of people. It's going to be something that maybe that final quarter hour you see like a 50, 70,000 viewership increase, but it's not going to be this insane number that people, if you remember when Sasha Banks main evented, she came back to NXT for one night and she had a match. I remember that quarter hour, it went up, what, like 100,000 viewers? I can't see it being much different than that. But that match, I'm looking forward to tomorrow. But you know the story. The story is going to be the ribs. And Bron is going to methodically work on those ribs. So, we're about to wrap everything up, everyone. We get Bronson Reed beating Shinsuke Nakamura. I know they're trying to add heat to the Money in the Bank ladder match. This wasn't it. You have Nakamura last week telling Ricochet he's going to do what Ricochet failed to do, and that's beat Bronson Reed. Okay, fine. They were in the ring earlier for that segment with Logan Paul, and, you know, not much there. But what happens here is Nakamura is taking on Bronson Reed, getting some offense, and Ricochet comes out. Ricochet decides he's going to sit around ringside, not on commentary, just watching the match. Now, you know that in some way Ricochet and Shinsuke are going to interact by the commentator's table. So what happens is Ricochet is sitting in a chair. Bronson Reed and Nakamura start brawling outside, and Nakamura is thrown towards Ricochet's way. Ricochet gets out of dodge and Nakamura lands in the chair. So Ricochet, who is behind the chair, takes his foot. And if you remember when Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler just had that tag match and Shayna Baszler had the singles match and Ronda Rousey like pushed Shayna Baszler's ass. So there was no way to kick out. If you just picture that, instead of Shayna Baszler's ass, picture a chair. And instead of Ronda Rousey, picture Ricochet. Ricochet takes his foot in the back of the chair with Shinsuke in the chair and pushes it forward. So Ricochet flies into Bronson Reed. All right. Ricochet turns around. He's not happy about it. You know, like, what the fuck are you doing? So Bronson Reed gets a little bit of the upper hand. They get back in the ring, go back and forth a little bit. Shinsuke gets a little bit of offense again. And then it's just looked at like a hot mess. This was just not necessary, stupid, and a waste. Shinsuke is about to hit, I guess, the Kinshasa on Bronson Reed. And Ricochet climbs the apron. And as Nakamura charges Bronson Reed, Bronson Reed gets out of dodge. Nakamura knocks Ricochet off the apron. So since Nakamura is startled, here comes Bronson Reed. Nails Nakamura, hits the tsunami. 1, 2, 3. Totally unnecessary. I'll tell you this much. In the last month, I'm warming up to Bronson Reed. I think the more he goes out there and the more he does moves to showcase his body, you know, to emphasize the size, the girth, the mass, people, it's like a special attraction. When he climbs the rope to do the tsunami, listen to that crowd. That's not just piped in shit. You could hear that crowd like they're about to see some big, giant, fat guy who's really talented, this big behemoth of a man who's going to squash poor little Shinsuke. That's something to see live and in person. You see somebody that size doing that, that's impressive. So as long as they don't expose him too much, I think Bronson Reed is coming along. As we were talking yesterday, I wonder if, you know, if we get Bronson Reed having a feud with who's the one that Odyssey Jones, because Odyssey Jones, we haven't seen anything yet. Imagine both of those guys, because they're big. They're big boys. And that's something right up their alley. Now with Braun Strowman on the shelf, you know, we need a big behemoth of a baby face to take Braun Strowman's place. I don't know if Odyssey Jones would be that answer, but somebody's going to have to do it. So we get the main event tonight. The main event, Cody Rhodes, Kevin Owens. Oh, the photos just went. The photos just went. That's okay. We don't need to see them. Here, I could show you one. Here you go. There you go. There's one. Cody Rhodes, Kevin Owens, and Sami Zayn, they defeat the Judgment Day. What really pissed me off about this, at one point early on, the crowd is chanting, "Dom's a bitch, Dom's a bitch, Dom's a..." They were censoring it. I mean, we saw commercials for Hump Day Wednesday. They're doing like a recreation of Temptation. We just ripped on Temptation Island last night on the sit down. And they're going to debut this hybrid of Temptation Island. And it's all about, you know, and why would you at 10:55 p.m., Dom's a bitch? That's going to change the rating from PG to 14. Plus, the crowd noise wasn't extremely loud. I thought that was a little bit overboard, over the top, in my opinion. But Dom getting crazy heat tonight. We didn't see much interaction with Cody Rhodes and Dominic Mysterio. Early on, we thought we were going to get them going at it, but Dom, you know, chicken shit, tags out. And you got Damian Priest. And Damian Priest doing a lot of workload tonight. Crowd was into it. It was a fun match. I will tell you this much. We've seen, like, a lot of Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, and Riddle as six-man tags to close out Raws. We've seen Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, and then we have Seth Rollins for a night. That closed out a Raw. Now we got Cody Rhodes, Kevin Owens, and Sami Zayn. And this didn't feel like your typical Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn tag match to close out Raw. They've taken on Imperium. They've taken on the Bloodline before the Bloodline imploded. They've taken on Judgment Day. This is not the first time tonight. But tonight, the crowd was hot, and everything in the ring teased. They teased Cody and Dominic. Dominic got some shots in on Cody Rhodes. Towards the latter part of the match when Dominic broke up, I think Cody hit the Cody cutter on Damian Priest and went for the pin, and Dom broke it up, and then Dom started wailing on Cody Rhodes and then got out of Dodge. So Dom was, I tell you, if you watch closely, Dom's getting his ass kicked. Dom's getting tossed, thrown out of the ring multiple times. And if you look closely, Rhea Ripley, she checks on him. She's like, you okay? And he's fine, but he's turning into a little bump machine. And later part of the match, when Kevin Owens gets a hot tag, he's beating the crap out of Dominic. And the crowd is going nuts. He hits a super kick, hits a cannonball, only gets a two count. All three members of that tag team tonight got a hot tag. Kevin Owens got the first one. Sami Zayn got the second one because Finn Balor got tagged in, and then Damian Priest got involved. Damian was going at it with Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes at one point was beating the balls off of Damian Priest, where people online are like, wow, Cody's getting a lot of offense in on Damian Priest. Rhea Ripley, once again with the distraction. We know we're not going to get any guys with their hands on Rhea Ripley. No matter what people want to try to tell you as news online, it ain't happening. So Rhea Ripley with a little bit of a distraction. That allows Damian Priest to hit a choke slam on Cody Rhodes, but Sammy breaks it up. Now Rhea climbs the ropes again. Sami Zayn is doing a stare down with Rhea Ripley. If you watch it, Sami Zayn was not going to dive onto Rhea Ripley. Rhea Ripley moved out of the way. Sammy dives over the rope, lands on Dominic to the outside. So then to try to bring the match home, Kevin Owens and Finn Balor are brawling on one side of the ring, outside of the ring on one side. Dominic Mysterio is out. So now you have Cody Rhodes and Damian Priest a little bit. Cody attempts a pin, and that gets broken up. And then Sami Zayn. I mean, the crowd going hot for Sami Zayn, hits a huluva kick onto Dominic. Kevin Owens hits a stunner on Dominic. But then we get Cody Rhodes. You thought you were going to get the trifecta. Huluva kick to Dominic Mysterio. Stunner to Dominic Mysterio. So you're thinking, okay, crossroads for Dominic Mysterio, but no. Instead, Cody Rhodes nails Damian Priest with crossroads. Yes, Damian Priest was the legal person, but still, you would have thought the way the match was going to end, you have all three guys, but they really wanted to minimize any interaction with Cody Rhodes and Dominic Mysterio. Dominic got his licks in when Cody Rhodes was incapacitated. But when they were face-to-face, Chicken Shit Dom, which is a compliment, would get his ass out of Dodge. So, Dominic Mysterio, Finn Balor, Damian Priest, they lose tonight. And we go off the air. Again, it wasn't a bad show, but it was way too much to sink in. It just felt heavy. You know, AEW Collision. We're not going to talk about Collision tonight. I talked about it quite a bit yesterday. If you want to go check out the sit down, I did the preview show on Thursday, which was spectacular. And then Saturday, we talked about CM Punk's ESPN interview, which exposed a lot of people over the weekend, for their bullshit. Remember all the uproar, the damage control that AEW was trying to do? None of it was true. But I will say this, the one refreshing thing about Collision Saturday, it was 2 hours of easy viewing. You didn't have every second. I don't want to use the pun total nonstop action, but it was easy to absorb, easy to digest. That might be the only detriment to Collision on Saturday, that it didn't really advance any storylines. Yeah, CM Punk has his championship in a red bag. Good chat. Somebody tried to take it. Fine. But if you look at everything else, there really was not much built with storylines. People talking about, oh, Andrade's going to get two people and they're going to feud with the House of Black. Yeah, that's stuff we've seen on Dynamite. You know what I mean? Like, but Collision for this past Saturday was easy watching. Tonight was just chaotic. It was just one after the other, after the other, after the other. And everything seemed to have something a little bit too much with it. So I liked the show. But sometimes you like to chill, relax, watch it, enjoy it, digest it, you know, pop. Yeah, it was just too much to take in. And like I said, even preparing for the show, putting together 60 photos is fine. But taking notes as well, and I just over and over found myself falling behind. I'm like, that doesn't happen. You know, tonight was just a hot mess. It was a good show. Not a one that I'll really remember all that much, but it was a hot mess. But that was your episode of Raw tonight. As far as ratings go, they should see a decent rebound in the ratings this week, Raw. Because last week it only did 1,595,000. The week prior was 1,828,000. But last week, they took a substantial decline. Yes, this was post-Night of Champions, and you had playoffs going on and shit. NXT last week, even with the hype of Seth coming to NXT and everything else, last week only did 581. That was down from the week prior, 615. Dynamite last week, everything was down last week. You know, people were like, wow, last week was an awesome week for wrestling. If you look at numbers, everything was down. Now, yeah, we don't have SmackDown's number yet. I think SmackDown's going to pop a nice rating because of Jey Uso, you know, making his decision. But Dynamite last week did 832, which was way down from the week prior as 903. New Japan this past Thursday did 57,000 viewers. That actually is up from the week prior, 48,000, but 57,000 is still a horrible number. Let's be honest. Impact Wrestling was down. They only did 124,000, which is down from the week prior, 137. And then tomorrow, we'll have Rampage's numbers, we'll have SmackDown's numbers, and we'll have AEW Collision's numbers. Stone Cold Takes on America, last week they did 229, which I was surprised how high that number was, but we'll have the rest of the ratings tomorrow. We'll get into it later this week. Main event. I said earlier that JD McDonagh lost on main event. He lost to Apollo Crews. And on main event, Dana Brooke defeated Xia Li. So we got a Xia Li appearance, everybody. But with that said, I think we're going to jet out of here. We're almost at 90 minutes. You know, tonight, and I think going forward, I think we're going to keep it simple. Ratings, history preview, Raw recap, NXT preview, Dynamite preview, and, you know, maybe a tidbit here and there as far as news goes. Everything else we covered over the weekend, you could check out those shows. But for my Patreon family, I will be here live on Patreon tomorrow at 10:05 p.m. right after NXT. And Wednesday, I'll be recording part of, I tell you, doing Wednesday Night Dynamite last Thursday was beautiful. Having an extra day to put it all together, I mean, we may have to start thinking about doing Wednesday Night Dynamite on Thursdays. We may have to change the name because that extra day, because everybody and their mother's doing a podcast on Wednesdays. So as of right now, I'm still going to do it Wednesday, but it'll be on DonTony.com, I would say by midnight, the latest. But if you follow the social medias or if you're on the community section for YouTube or Patreon, you'll get alerted of it. So, but that's it. I'm out of here. So much love, everyone. If you enjoyed the show, you know what to do. And I'll catch you all later on this week. As I'm looking at my pictures down here, yeah. Just if you would have said to me, honestly, I'll leave you with this. If you would have said to me 10 years ago, 12 years ago, that that guy would end up being president of the United States, and then that guy would end up getting arrested and possibly facing the rest of his life in prison, and some of the other recent legal issues he's had, I would have thought you were nuts. I mean, it's pretty wild how much has changed in 12 years. It's pretty wild to look back on that. So, all right, everybody. I hope you all have a good one. Be well. Stay safe. I'll catch you all again soon. Ciao.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.